We all good? Yep. Hello? Hello? Good. Hi, Mary Jane. I was wondering if you would be so kind to unmute and let me know what your last name is for attendance purposes.
Jane.
I'm so sorry. Could you repeat that again?
Jane.
Thank you. Hello to our online guest, NXA017. If you could please give me your name, first and last name, for attendance purposes, that would be great. Thank you.
Nancy Auer, A-U-E-R.
Thank you, Nancy. All right, so it's 7 o'clock, and I just want to welcome everybody to the Village of Galena Council meeting on Monday, July 26th at 7 o'clock on the news tonight. So, Suzanne, if you could give us a roll call. I know we have a few on vacation today. Thank you. All right, we have the minutes to approve of June 28th, 2021 Council meeting. Wondered if there was any corrections or suggestions?
Did you get the corrections that I sent in? No?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve it.
Can I get a second, please? Right, that was Ruben. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. The motion is passed to approve the minutes of June 28th. Thank you. Next, we had a special meeting, so it was a meeting minutes from July 16th, special council meeting. And I do have one correction that Ken asked me to make. It was for, in the first line up at the top, that the meeting was suggested by Mayor Jill Love. It was by Ken Mulder. So if you would like to approve those as amended.
Well, I have questions raised about that meeting.
Okay, absolutely.
I don't know.
Go right ahead.
I don't know if has to do with the minutes or the question is whether adequate public notice was given and whether the votes that were made were actually legal since two people were not present. Again, we had four people to make a quorum and start the meeting, but we did some emergency measures and didn't have a quorum to do that. So essentially, any actions that we took were not appropriate.
Actually, based on the ORC code, according to Ken, because it was an emergency and because the event could not be canceled, it was considered an emergency. But he did say to please refer all comments, questions about that event and about that particular meeting to him.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm disappointed he's not here tonight.
But, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Anything else? All right, great. Can we get a motion to pass the minutes of July 16th for special council meeting? All right, thank you. All those in favor say aye. For a second, I'm sorry. Thank you, Kathy. Jumping down there, Ruben. Sorry, I was looking right at you. All right. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Motion is passed to approve the meeting notes of July 16th. All right. Well, tonight we have three nice guest participation. Go ahead. Oh, okay. For this evening? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you probably want to have a conversation with Kim. With Ken. Okay. I'm fine. Make a correction is that the minutes have not been approved from July 16th from the special council meeting. Thank you. Okay. So moving on to our guest participation, we have Tim Erb this evening. He is a new candidate for the Planning and Zoning Committee. This evening we will need to have a discussion whether council agrees with my appointment for him for Planning and Zoning, and you have all received his application. And if so approved this evening, I will go ahead and swear him in. So he's here with us tonight if anybody would like to ask any questions or have any discussion.
No, I appreciate getting Tim's resume and application. Were there other applications still? Or?
There was not.
How did you advertise?
Yeah, on social media. Just like usual. Yep.
Okay. My only concern is trying to make sure that planning and zoning is as representative of the community as possible. And
mm-hmm.
It seems like we're getting a lot of Blackhawk development folks.
Just have two. I try to reach. We'd love community involvement for everything.
Yeah. Understood. Yeah. Understood. You know, when we have an application, you get one application.
Right.
You know.
Right. It's like when we were looking for maintenance. We, you know, it's a tough one. We reach out there as much as we can for every event we do. So, with that being said, anybody other have any questions for Tim? For those that don't know, he is a 35-year veteran of the Tillamook Fire Department, actually specialized in high-rise building hazards. So he's got a very keen eye for detail. And speaking with Chief Kovac, he was nothing but excited to have you join our planning and zoning. I appreciate that. So would you mind stepping up here, and I will swear you in again.
Can we vote on it?
Oh, do you want to vote on it first?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. All right. Can I get a motion to approve the appointment? Tim Earn. Thank you, Jeff. All those in favor, say aye.
Do we have a roll call for me?
You can, absolutely. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Yes.
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 Those opposed? Anybody? Nope. Okay, great. The motion has passed. I'll cover everything. Motion has passed to swear in Tim Earp as our new member on the Planning and Zoning Committee. Thank you. Well, let's look at it. Come on up. All right. Thank you, everybody. All right, we will move on this evening. We have a guest, Jennifer Wilson from the Health Department, and would love to have you come up to the microphone. Well, you haven't been here for a little while. We'd love to hear from you.
Jennifer, I had heard that Delaware County was high in terms of the vaccination rate in the county. Do you know anything about that? Is that true? That's not really the question. The question is in terms of the numbers of vaccinated people versus unvaccinated people.
Yeah. That was what was implied, that Delaware County had a high percentage in terms of the whole state. And I was curious if that was actually true. Yeah. Right. So if the variant, the Delta variant, is affecting people who are unvaccinated, then in theory, Delaware County should be in a good position. Right? I mean, in terms of the variant. Or a better position. Right.
You guys have done an amazing job, absolutely amazing. Can't thank you enough. Just educating, being out there, being right in the middle of it all, hour after hour, chasing people down, you know, it's been immense. I have some friends in the health department, and to watch you work, it must feel that way sometimes. Yeah, so thank you.
Okay, if you could get that data across. That way, it's a very conversation. It would be good for us to have, I think.
Anyone else? Never knew you'd be working in this type of thing when you signed up for this job, did you? So I give you guys a lot of credit. Thank you. Thank you for all you do. Thanks, Jennifer. Perfect. Thanks. Welcome anytime. All right.
Excuse me, Jill.
Sure.
Counsel, just in terms of microphone etiquette, you need to have your microphone on if you're going to speak. Even though Jennifer's right there and she can hear you. The recording can't hear you. So.
Bring it nice and close to you.
Yeah.
Like a singer. Oh, you're singing, guys. Know that. All right, great. Well, we have our obesity friends here with us tonight, and I know David has a PowerPoint that he brought, so I'm going to turn my back to you for just a minute to pull it up on the PowerPoint so then Jeff can share it. Oh, I can do that. Thank you.
Excellent. We had a meeting on the 17th of July, which was last Saturday, right? That's right. Lisa Dyson, Lori Armbruster, Gina Burrell, and myself met and looked at specific sites in the village that were thinking of doing D-City activities. And the next slide. Just as a reminder, how do we change this?
Oswego. To refresh everybody's memory, we became an official B city by passage of an ordinance, and that was designed to do three things: promote the preservation and expand the natural habitat for pollinators that are in decline, eliminate the use of toxic chemicals as much as possible, and then promote the benefits of planting native gardens. And I just learned myself tonight that Bee City is a subset of a group called Xerxes, which is a nationwide group interested in invertebrate nature and in terms of studying how invertebrates affect and aid our society. So Bee City is a subset of that. Go ahead, Jim. So the idea is to promote plantings of native plants, which will do several things. One, attract pollinators and promote the survival of pollinators. But it also has other benefits in terms of filtering, providing a natural water filtration for other chemicals that are on the surface. They're low maintenance. They don't require watering or mowing. So we're thinking in terms of the maintenance staff that's really under the gun all the time during the summer, especially for mowing. If we can identify areas that they don't need to mow, then we're all ahead. And then, of course, no chemical and pest control is needed in these areas. And they also, because of their deep root system, help prevent erosion. Go ahead, Jim. We looked at multiple sites, as I mentioned, and we came up with these particular projects to begin in September. The first one, which I'll show you on the next slide, which is show you a map, but it's in the along Zor Street, and it's an area that cannot be built upon because it's right under the power lines. That makes it appealing for this, number one, but number two, it is currently stripped of all vegetation, which is like the starting point for planting these native plants. And so before somebody rushes in, oh, we got to put grass in here, this seemed like an opportune time to get some native plants established there. And then because we were trying to apply for a funding source that required 2 acres of land, and we couldn't identify 2 acres together anywhere that we could devote to this, we're going to have to pursue other sources for the seed. But in the meantime, we thought there are some existing areas in the village, for example, one behind the sewer plant, that native plants have become established there. It's not a real public area, but if we had some signage that would help to begin the education process of why we're doing this. And so we're going to be trying to raise money to pay for signs. And Lori has brought some examples, or an example of a possible sign that we can look at. But go to the next slide, John. Here are pictures showing you how the area, it was right under the power lines on the left there, and it's completely devoid of vegetation now. And then the map shows you approximately where that is along Door Street. So that's where we're suggesting we start with our first plan. And go ahead and ask me, Jenny. And then other areas that we looked at, there is a border along the quarter, or along the Iguana Creek in Ruffner Park that could also do some signage. The Walnut Creek Trail, which one is that, Lori? Can you come up to the
Got it? Okay. It's right, well, it's right along the trail. It's on the creek side, the river, the creek side, under that one development. There's a bunch of bluebird houses along there, and Kathy, is that where you, is that the area? There's some bluebird houses. I think it's the development where you live. Yeah, so the sidewalk area,
okay,
along the, yeah.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
Before you get to that little bridge.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And the higher area closer to the creek is all native, just about.
It seemed to me that they were cutting a path close to the creek, though, with all the kids that are always going down.
They could
but
be.
Then there's a section of the and then it's down and then.
Okay, yeah, so that area wouldn't be affected where they're cutting. It's really just that upper area where the plants are already there.
Very high grass.
And it's just a long strip. And many, many of those are pollinator plants. I went out there and all kinds of bees and butterflies were working them. So just so people, just, you know, they do look like weeds, but with a few signs, people are going to go, oh, this is native Ohio habitat. And it's a good thing. that's the area. I don't know if I explained it too clearly.
I think you did a great job.
Okay.
I have a question, and maybe you've been answering it all day. Number one, I love this because I think bees are one of the most important things in our society. I think many people don't understand just how important bees are.
Mm-hmm.
But in respect to where you're having it, I'm sure there would be signs in case somebody who may be allergic to bees, especially if you're talking about here on Zora, which is my area. I think that's a great place because it is kind of secluded. No one necessarily walks like that close to it. But just thinking, there's a lot of kids at the end of that block, and if there's anybody that may be allergic to bees, is that something we need to be aware of to inform them?
It's a good point, but the risk of any of those bees causing any issues, if a kid were to run through them, they would just, they're foraging bees.
Mm-hmm.
If a hive were there, an actual hive or a colony, it's a whole different story.
Yeah.
So,
I found it out the hard way.
So these are just, they're out there looking for food. And they're not out there, a bee can sting once, and they know when they sting that they're dead. It's not like wasps where they can one sting and they're done.
Yeah.
So it's like the very last resort. And foraging bees are not they're not protecting any kind of colony. They're just out gathering food. So if there's bees like, say there's some sap or trefoil or something, and you were to walk through it, you're going to see them just scatter away, just like a butterfly, whatever.
Yeah.
If you stepped on one with a bare foot, obviously, or you grabbed one, but as far as somebody just brushing by them or being in that vicinity, the last thing they're looking, they're just out there gathering food.
Okay, that's good to know.
So we won't put any hives there. At some point, we would love to put a hive somewhere, but we would be very, very careful where we would put that so that it would, just what we were talking about, wouldn't happen.
That makes a lot of sense. I wish I could have a hive idea myself.
I know. Well, if you just change your mind, let me know.
Quick question, Jeff. Just for my benefit, I'm not 100% sure exactly where you're talking about on tour. That's not any of the land that we talked about for maintenance building.
No.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay.
And then going down the list on the left there, the water treatment plant I already mentioned is a plant established behind that. The Arrowhead Park is, again, an area underneath power lines. And it's like basically on the boundary between Sunbury and Luna. And again, it's an area that, you know, it's never going to be built on, and this is a good place to utilize that. And then Heathermere Zora Pond is not far from the Zora Street planning that we already talked about. So the next steps then is to try and get HOA approval because the Door Street planning in particular is not village property, it's controlled by the HOA. And we'd like to get council to approve the sign project that Lori's going to show an example of it.
This is just an example.
I love how you guys have explored some more of these areas. So we were really hoping that you would make this bigger, you know, and so it's really exciting to hear that you guys have really done your homework and got out there and looked at some other places.
Yeah.
Well, what we'd like to do is get maybe some budgeting next year for get some council help with signage and actually get a local sign maker. That came from the Zerses Society, right?
Yeah, that came from Zerses Society in Bee City. Next time I can gather up some costs of the sign. And it's just sort of an ongoing project. There's no timeline in it. It's just something when we discover areas that are, you know, would be great to let the public know that this is a native pollinator area, just to put them in. But yeah, I'd like to, you know, just get some pricing and see if there's other types of signs too, but get the best deal out there.
So Lori has some brochures that she got.
Yeah, I'm just going to give you, they just sent these the other day. They always send cool stuff. Yeah, you can just take one and then I'll take the rest. And then, the little ones are bookmarks. And I really like that because it very succinctly states what Bee City is. That's it. I mean, that's what the village, you know, that's what the goals are. That's what the commitment is when the resolution was passed.
Oh, yeah. Lori, being that Galena is, you know, really one of, unfortunately, few, you know, Bee Cities that have been proclaimed as Bee Cities.
Right.
Is there a thought or a chance, you know, as you grow and kind of get it a little more into this of doing some more education, maybe holding some workshops here, maybe, you know, I mean, gosh, we get troops in all the time. It'd be really fun if, like, they contact me to come in here, and then we pal up, and you do, you know, something with the beach. I think that'd be really neat. They'd love it.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Any kind of community outreach and education is fantastic. It doesn't all have to be planting. You know, just putting signs up, that's just an education step. It's not actual planting of that, but yeah, having the Girl Scouts come in or, you know, maybe planting a little butterfly garden with them or something, or just giving a workshop or bringing them to some hives and, you know, doing a little outing that to show people and talk about. But, yeah, it doesn't have to be anything grandiose. It's just, it's an ongoing thing year after year. And as long as the village is just showing that, hey, we're just out there and, you know, like I said, they don't expect a lot of fanfare. It's just, okay, you're touching the public this way and this way, and letting them know. That's all we need to keep the status as a city.
Is there anything that you can give that we can maybe share on social media? Like, it would be something I would share on my personal page? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a Facebook page,
okay.
Bee City, and
okay.
It's got all kinds of resources on it. If you go to the files tab, we've got native nurseries that are local, all kinds of information like this about pollinators, all kinds of things. The actual resolution signed is on there. We post on there every now and then. We've got a fairly good following. A lot of it's just fun, silly stuff, you know, just, you know, bee butts and stuff like that.
Because you started educating our scouts about bees and the importance of them, so I'd love to share some more information.
That would be great. Yeah, you're welcome to, you know, post it there, post it online, and
Yes. Just
spread the word that the village, you know, to your point, we're only
like we're like one of, I think, 4 or 5 cities in Ohio to do this. But it's nationwide. But so, yeah.
It'd be fun to put on social media, like, did you know?
Yeah,
Selena is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's a fun thing. And we do have one sign up. We have to get the other one. In the one slide that Dave showed was the village entrance sign, and then we have the Bee City sign there. So we need to put one more up, but we need to find the right drill bit.
Have you given any thought to having a booth maybe at SummerFest?
We wanted to have it, but due to the insurance requirement, we don't have the insurance. So, but we did have one. Obviously, nothing happened last year because of COVID. But the first year, we did have a booth, and it was, we had honey, and Lisa made some wonderful soaps out of, we just, and people were all over the booth, and we were handing out all kinds of pollinator information and all kinds of things, seeds, packets of seeds. But unfortunately, we can't do it because of the insurance requirement. So we would love to, though.
Is that Arrowhead area? That's a really big, large spot.
In between the bike path, there's like a bike path. You
know? I don't think that's
it. Is.
Oh, that's the 23 acres. Okay, but.
Yeah, cause that looks like.
Yeah.
Really. That looks like a perfect spot.
Yeah, that'd be primo. And
yeah.
You need to get some approval from HOA.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I was just going to say, just stay close on that because there's some of those areas are bounding up to some land that we're planning to hold out for a maintenance building.
Yeah, no, we would definitely, you know, we'll always run it by council. Yeah.
Oh, great.
We won't just,
so much.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the worst, we go through all the trouble planning and it all gets mowed over, so we don't want that.
I think that's a low-lying area that I'm thinking of, isn't it?
Is it low-lying?
It's, well, yeah, and it just looks like a lot of that natural native stuff in there. I guess they didn't build there for a reason because, you know, right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, real quick, I have a question on chat from Kathy Farkas. And Kathy, I'm sorry that I didn't catch this fast enough. I guess the speaker mic was not connected to the Zoom audio. So we will look into that. Can you hear now? If you want to unmute yourself, that would be great. Her question, though, is you had mentioned that you couldn't be at SummerFest due to insurance reasons, and she's just curious.
I really cannot hear much of any.
Okay. Thank you. But, yeah, she's just asking why, with insurance reasons, that you can't be at SummerFest. That was Kathy's question.
Oh, well, our understanding is that in order to be there, it's required that we show that we have at least $1 million worth of insurance, and we just don't have that.
Okay.
I don't. Do you know where that stemmed from? Where that rule came from? Okay.
This is Kathy. Can you hear me?
Sure can, Kathy. Yes. Yeah.
I was wondering if the city could sponsor the booth.
The city could, you know, the village could sponsor. I don't remember each.
Is the city sponsor, or the insurance covered?
Yeah, Kathy, that's a great point. And we have some things to discuss regarding that, council does, I should say. And so, let's keep that in the wheelhouse. So you always bring up good stuff. So we'll continue to keep posted on that, okay?
Yeah, if we can be there, we would love to.
Right. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? And Dave, thank you for PowerPoint. Appreciate that.
All right. Only comment is has Eric been involved in any of this? Or did you switch hands? Is Eric leading it up to the council, or are you jointly?
Eric is supposed to be involved in it, but okay. He's not been available for any times we've had meetings.
All right.
where did they go? Well, Jeff, that hooked you up. I don't know. Yes,
we've been through all the guests. Okay. Under the development section where I try to highlight what's going on with the different land developments, a lot of things haven't changed since last month. There's a couple new things that I presume will be covered under your Planning and Zoning Commission reports. So I did have the village's zoning map updated to reflect the annexation and zoning changes related to Galena Crossing. And so that map is on our website now and available. Delaware County Friends of the Trail had their annual Community Ties bike tour this past Saturday. There were over 200 participants. It's a fundraiser that I believe this is around the 20th year for it, and those funds benefit the Ohio to Erie Trail within Delaware County, including Village of Galena, and parts of the trail that have been built have been through the efforts of the Delaware County Friends of the Trail. The Walnut Creek Trail Bridge over Big Walnut Creek is deteriorating. We have told our employees to not drive their trucks over it anymore, and I've also apprised BSP&G that they're on an emergency run to avoid driving across the bridge. And we are going to have KEM present a more detailed analysis of what will be necessary to bring that bridge back up to full capacity. And that'll be a future report.
Jeff, you talk about full capacity. But what I want to be certain as well is that bikes and pedestrians can continue. I did talk to Mark Ruffner today, so we're all on the same page there. But I don't want to see us not do anything and then in 6 months say no bikes or pedestrians, because there's just jobs of people who do that.
Right. Well, we took measures a couple years ago, adding some wood preservative to the deck and so forth. It apparently didn't work that well. And then the first step here was when I had our engineer go out and size up the situation. So we're not ignoring it, and that's the first step in trying to solve a problem that's been occurring over a number of years. The bridge is only about 10 years old. I found the plans in our records, and I think those were signed in 2009, I believe. And we have construction photos. And the bridge was originally in the plans designed to be a covered bridge. And that would have protected the wood deck and side rails, but they're exposed to the weather, and so that's what we got. But
so I had a good conversation with Mark. Yeah, I agree.
The first step here will be I've asked KEM to put together a price proposal for how much it will cost us to have this full-blown engineering and evaluation. We need the evaluation so it will give us what our options are to fix the bridge and what the anticipated cost of that would be. So the engineering study will be a sum of money that we'll have to wrestle with whether we're going to be able to do that under this year's budget. And then that study will also tell us how much it'll cost to bring the bridge back. And we'll have to wrestle with these numbers on whether or not we can do something as soon as next year or how we're going to budget for this.
So, Jeff, real quick, why would the bridge only last 10 years? I mean, I understand the elements, but who built the bridge? And it would just seem, I mean, most places you go, I'm assuming, that, you know, get a little more longevity out of that, and then why wasn't a covered bridge as planned?
Was it just financial?
I don't know the answer. I wasn't here. There was bidding that happened, and it could be that the cost of the covered bridge was more than the village could handle. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then the wood that was specified in the plans is what the contractor built. So I would just say historically, 10 years is about the life of an exposed bridge. It's not unusual. That's actually very typical. I mean, historically, yeah. It was. That's why you had covered bridges.
Yeah.
Because 10 years was the limit for an exposed bridge.
Hey, Tom, I was just wondering, I know you're out there. It just would have been so cool to have a covered bridge. Was it a cost issue with the covered? Gotcha. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. So stay tuned on the Walnut Creek Trail Bridge. There will certainly be future reports about it. At last month's council meeting, someone brought up the fact that there's not electricity at the baseball field down at Ruffner Park. So I followed up regarding that, spoke to DTL, and then I had an AEP technician come out and inspect everything and found that all of their service equipment to the electrical panel, which the panel is right at the south end of our maintenance building, that AEP's equipment was just fine, and there's apparently a problem between there and the baseball field, and DTL is going to have an electrician come to fix it, and that could happen as soon as next week. Village of Galena has received the 2021 Facility Image Award from the Southeast Section of the Ohio Water Environment Association in recognition of the aesthetics of the village's new wastewater treatment plant. And our Tom Marshall went and received that award on our behalf, and I've prepared a news release, and hopefully we'll get some coverage in the Delaware Gazette. Our Walnut Street culvert, we were glad to get the approval from the state that we've gotten our money from the Ohio Public Works Commission to replace the culvert. And we have an agreement to sign with the state. And there were actually three different resolutions on the agenda for tonight that would need to get passed in order for us to sign this funding agreement with OPWC and then also enter into the construction contract, and then another resolution having to do with moving some funds around in our budget. And we don't have the correct number of council members here tonight, so we're not able to, we'll just be able to do first readings on these, but we needed them passed as emergencies and waiving the three reading requirement.
And we'll have a special meeting next week to fulfill that obligation.
Do we have a date and time yet?
We don't. I need to get with the other two who are going to be on vacation this week.
So we had one bid, which we were glad to get, from Elite Excavating of Ohio for $45,932.50. That is within the 10% 10% of the engineer's estimate for the project, and the bid was reviewed and determined to be responsive and acceptable, and the company has experience doing projects like this. So stay tuned on that. There will be an announcement about a special council meeting. Joe Walker Road paving project. If you remember last time, I reported that the county engineer wanted us, the village, to take care of doing a drainage improvement over there before the paving contractor comes. And we went through a lot of effort trying to get a contractor to do this drainage improvement, and it just fell flat. We couldn't find anybody that'd be able to do it within our budget. And so I've informed the county engineer's office that we're just going to have to let them proceed with their paving, and someday maybe we'll get around to the drainage. I did point out to the county guy that it's taken about 40 years for the road to deteriorate to this point, so trying to do a drainage improvement over there maybe not the highest and best use of our money. And he acknowledged that. I'm coordinating with the county engineer to make sure we have proper safety signage at Dustin Road where the sharp curve is and the low overhead bridge. And there's a corporate line kind of crosses through there in a way that it's going to be a joint operation between us and the township and the county. And along those lines, we noticed that the railroad bridge overpass was quite overgrown, a lot of vines hanging down, and it's the village's bridge to take care of. And so I was able to get the Berkshire Township crew out there to help with traffic control since it's a blind curve there, while our guys were working on the vegetation. And so that was a good joint operation. So now both crews know each other, and that should lead to some good things in the future on some mutually beneficial assistance with things. Mark Rufner was planning to be here to give an update and explanation about our sewer rate analysis, but when we found that two of our council members weren't going to be here tonight, and the other ones who are here, most of you have heard something or other, have been in some previous meetings about this, so we've rescheduled Mark to come to the August meeting. Columbia Gas pipeline installation project on Walnut Street, as you probably all have noticed, has been silent for the last month. At last month's council meeting, the information I had was that their welder would be coming and then they would be done by the middle of July. And as it turns out, the welding crew was diverted to another project somewhere else. And so now it's looking like they'll come sometime this week. And hopefully then we'll see the road repaved and everything by mid-August.
I'm hearing a great number of complaints from the residents. And I explained to them we're waiting on the welding, so the sooner the better.
What are they complaining about?
Tired of it being torn up. Tired of driving over the grate.
I see.
Like mm-hmm. You guys live in the midst of it, but I'm just hearing it from the neighbors.
If you remember, we discussed previously, we had something in our budget for washing the outside of this building. And so I coordinated again with that contractor who had given us a $700 or $750 quote to wash the building. And then he told me, well, that's just a piece of the story here. He looked at the building more closely and said, well, the siding, the paint finish on that aluminum siding is oxidized so heavily that there will be a white residue that will coat the windows on this building, and need to get a commercial window washer here who has the proper equipment to remove that kind of residue. And so he figured it might cost another $500, and we don't have anything in the budget.
Can I just ask, Jeff?
Yeah.
I mean, when you go into any kind of new build, you know, painters go in there with their big spray thing, and they tape off all the windows. So even they can't tape off the windows?
He's not. I could get a quote from him to do that, but his quote was just come in with his mildew. His system is not the traditional power washer where you blast it.
Right.
It's more of a solvent kind of stuff. And
if you could ask them what it would cost to tape off the windows, yeah, that would just seem like part of the job.
No, well, it's well, not as normal
to
thing.
You and me.
I actually had him do my house. I wanted to see what it was like. It works great, but his prices are based on in and out. So I would be skeptical that it would save us any money. It'd be quite expensive, I'd imagine. It's just not part of the services he provides.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there something that we can do? Just, you know, can the maintenance guys get up there? Maybe I'm just asking too much.
I asked him about that. He'd be wasting a lot of time. It's just not an efficient use to get up on ladders and do it.
So by not cleaning the building or taking care of the outside, like we all take care of our houses, like you just had your power wash and things, is there any risk over time that it just kind of starts to eat into and, you know, we're going to have a much bigger problem?
It's already pretty far gone if you look at the building.
Mm-hmm.
The siding has a lot of problems.
Yeah, no, it does. That's what I'm just trying to figure out as we balance and think about washing that, getting the windows done and taking care of it versus not taking care of it. What's the 50-50 on that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We can get quotes to re-side the building, too.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So is it easier and better to get it washed and have somebody come in? And
now we'll be in a year's argument about what color to have the site.
Yeah, right. Do you guys have any thoughts about that? And then we got to take care of a building.
I wonder how much the window. I mean, does that have to be? Why does that have to be a professional window wash?
He explained to me it needs to be a washer of a contractor who has a particular kind of equipment that it's applying the wash water and vacuuming it off, so it's not running down.
Okay.
It's not
otherwise
a squeegee technique.
It'll go down underneath on the side thing underneath there.
It just, yeah, it just is a mess. And I'm not sure how it'll work. These have a plexiglass on the outside here, and I don't know how well that stuff will work. But
I just want to make sure that we're taking care of our building,
yeah.
You know, and so do we price siding? Not that we're going to be able to do it this year, but at least have an idea. Is it something we can do in a year? Versus, like you say, we're now up to $1,250 just to get it washed off. And we all know when that white starts, we're going to be sitting with
rust.
The siding itself.
Yeah.
I just think it should be something that we should at least start to begin to talk about. Yeah.
That's certainly true, but you know, it's not steel siding, it's aluminum siding. The paint that was put on it originally was meant to be a chalking paint, which, you know, got dirt off when it rained. I mean, that was the principle. And you know, what he's going to be doing is going to be affecting that original paint. So it might be better to just look at more, you know, an alternative to the washing and maybe new siding. Yeah.
Well, and there's great value of having aluminum. I had it done in our last house. There's
aluminum. Yeah,
aluminum,
but that's what
because of the cash-in value, that our price wasn't that high because they took the aluminum.
You recycled it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you guys want Jeff to at least
that's a heavy siding, so there might be a fair amount of aluminum there. Yeah.
Was giving thought to, you know, it paid off for us in the years in the past. Well, it just sounds like a good exercise for us to think about for next year's budget.
Right. It doesn't have to be this day, this week, this month.
Right.
Yep. By the way, our budgeting process starts in, I don't know, just a couple months.
Yeah.
Assuming contractors will be responsive and come out, I'll just ask for prices. See what the price range is. I don't know if it's 10,000 or 100,000. I don't know.
Make sure they know you're aware of us cashing the aluminum.
I assume the regular power washing wouldn't work. Like without
that was we were cautioned against that because it will blast off this paint patina that's on there. And,
okay.
It's a problem.
Talking paint, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Michelle and I met with our AEP account representative, not the person who called or complained about outages, but the person who handles the billing aspect. We get, the village receives 16, we have 16 electric accounts. We get that many different invoices during the year, during a month. And so the descriptions on what these accounts are for, each account, are kind of cryptic. So that's what we wanted to get together with the representative and find out. And I had gone out and photographed each meter and where they are located. And so we had our act together knowing what this meter is for what thing. And so the account rep came and sat with us and was able to bring up our different accounts on laptop, updated some of the descriptions. Some of the accounts, the street numbers are street numbers that don't exist. When you type them into the county auditor, it's like no results. So we had corrections made that way. And then there's an account that, aside from the wastewater plant, which is a high dollar account each month, but there's another one that traditionally, historically, comes in $600-$700 a month. And so we were able to learn that that is a it's an unmetered account, and it's for 48 streetlights. And so aside from the streetlights that are in the modern subdivisions like Heathermere and Walnut Creek, there's all these 48 or so streetlights mixed around out here in the old part of town here. And so anyhow, we were put at ease that way, that it's a legitimate account and there's a reason why it's not metered and so forth. We conducted our annual family creeking night last Thursday with the Delaware Soil and Water District. And this was part of our stormwater permit requirements with EPA. So public outreach is one of the things that we have under contract with Delaware and Soil and Water. And so we did that activity, and that was good. Councilman Simmons is in the process of refinishing the outside surface of two existing wood doors of the village hall here. And this door here, the back door of the council chamber, we just replaced it today. We took it off, and it was over at Simmons' workshop for the last week, and it was arduous, scraping off years of coats of paint. And so he stripped that down and repainted it, and so it looks fabulous from the outside. Are there any questions?
How about the gutters and curbs you were looking into before summer fest?
Yeah.
Repairs.
Yes. So I'm looking at the same contractor to do the curbs and gutters, different spot locations, as well as the repairs to the concrete steps, exterior steps here at the village hall. And I wanted to make sure we had some the understandings in writing about what he's going to charge and specifically what we're going to get as the results. And so I have that all written up. And just today, he replied, this is after a couple of weeks of trying to nail him down, but I believe tomorrow he'll be coming. And so I'll be able to get that underway. But at the time I met with him, maybe it's been a month ago, he was very confident that once he got started. So my big challenge will be once he can give me a more precise schedule, then I have to coordinate with all those business owners and residents down in the square area, because at any given time there's going to be some parking places that are going to be tied up. I have it. I've told him that we can't have all the parking tied up at once. And so he's going to break it up into two, maybe three different work areas.
He's also committed to have it done before Summerfest.
Yeah.
He's like less than a month now. Or yeah. About a month.
Yeah. So that's the game plan. What else?
As you know, the church is working out a deal with Homewood in terms of a new entrance. So we would abandon the entrance off under the road. And so there's an exchange of real estate and that sort of thing. So we have a person who's working very closely with Homewood. And he told me on Sunday that Homewood is really boggled by the cost of getting across the creek. And I just thought I'd let you know that it sounds like they're really kind of staggered by the call.
Yeah. Homewood came and met with us. It's been a couple months ago talking about this topic. And the principal over at the company is planning to provide us with what his game plan is on that. He's asking me to participate in a meeting with City of Columbus to talk about the crossing and make sure we're all on the same wavelength there. So that being said, they're moving forward because we have the first set of tracings, the title sheet for the plans here to be signed. So from an engineering standpoint, they're forging ahead.
Okay.
And it's for that first phase you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, doesn't there have to be a decision made of the size of the pipe that we're going, that's going to be run, what they will pick up expense-wise, and if they enlarge it, how do we cover that cost? Or have you had all that conversation?
They know what we want out of them, and to upsize, we want to minimize the need for some future boring. If some future development happens further east, we want it to already be taken care of as far as getting under the river. So that's part of what's going on here is the cost of doing this and how that's going to get covered. And so as soon as he can provide us with something, then I'll be sharing it with the council, but it's been basically 2 months now that he's been working on it, but we'll see.
All done? One more thing, but are you going to price the window washing or the...
I didn't.
Like astronomical?
What? No, the guy, the building washer guy said he's guessing it might be like $500. But I didn't go through all the effort to get quotes and all that. I wanted to talk to council first because if it's over $750, which is in our budget, then where are we going to come up with all this extra money and is it worth it?
I mean, if we're going to replace, we're talking about replacing siding, I mean, that's $1,200. You have to give us another 10 years, right?
The cleaning doesn't have anything to do with the longevity. It just was purely for the aesthetics of the building. There's the dark streaking from the
building. Do we know how long we have, or we don't know how long we have?
Well, the aluminum's going to be there.
That's true.
But it's just the whiteness of the building is diminished. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I would guess the siding's been there for 40, 45 years anyway. So
when if you go around and take a close look, mm-hmm. like around where, say, there's been the bending, you know, the flashing and so forth done, and say the front stairway that goes down to the downstairs doors, and you look at where there's been caulking,
right,
and it's all separated, and you can see the old wood, I guess it's the siding of the original buildings under there. So, I don't know, it's there's a lot of problems.
You wonder if that's asbestos siding under
it. It just looks like old timber.
Yeah, like that'd be better than
probably wood harvested from the woods around here. Anything else?
All right, thank you, Jeff. Before I start my report, I just wanted to kind of ask a few people on attendance again, as we've got some new people here. So, Kathy Farkas, can you please unmute and identify yourself and your address, please?
Kathy Farkas, 100 Rose Street.
Thank you. I want to make sure I have the right Kathy Farkas. Thank you so much. All right, great. All right, just want to move on to the mayor's report. So, just gosh, so much has been going on in the village. It's just been so fun. The Santa Thurman Burger Bash to Cure Cancer Pelotonia event on July 17th was an absolute success. It rained that day, and they ended up having 200 or 300 riders. Santa Thurman was very generous in donating all the food. The vault gave all the coffee, and the diner gave all a bunch of bags with bagels and muffins. I mean, everybody was participating. It was just fantastic. So huge success for them. We really want to encourage them to come back, you know, next year, and that is their plan. We actually even had a kids' ride, even though it was raining. They came all decorated. They are decorated. They all came in costumes, which is cute to say. So prizes were pretty darn good for the kids. They won $250. So the two winners got to split that. So, but the riders had a blast. They all came back. They all started out around 7. As different groups came in, they had the option to do, 20, 40, 60 miles. So it was just a really nice training ride, you know, before, I believe, was it Kathy this weekend? No, August 3rd. Or 7th. Okay. For Pelotonia. They got a couple weeks here. But they just got an immense amount of riders, which was so fun. So, big thanks to them. And some of the guys from the Pan Ohio group who started that ride were actually part of this group as well. And, you know, they did the 360 that came through this weekend that started at Audubon. So, for all I know, those guys are still riding. It was a 4-day ride, 360 miles. Also, the movies at Ruffner Park, oh my goodness, was that fun. Perfect night. I mean, it was even a little bit sweatshirt night. Wasn't that fun? Jacob Conrad did a great job. Ended up with 40, 45 people.
40 and one dog.
There you go. Okay. So a total family event. People brought their popcorn, they brought their blankets. The visuals were great. The sound was fantastic. Right under the stars. So, boy, we really hope to do that again.
The mosquitoes were alive.
Thank goodness for off. 4th of July parade, again, I mean, I think people were ready to celebrate America because I think this was the most they had ever seen. And a huge, huge shout out to the Big Walnut Civic Association for all their hard work. I mean, in some of the last minute things, you know, that happened that day that nobody will ever know about, and they just pulled it all off so beautifully. So the parade was just fun again. Another gorgeous morning. I was so kindly driven by Chris Underwood. I think that's who's done Tom in the past, and he had that beautiful red car. And I think I had 6 bags of candy, and I think we were out by the time that we were up on the.
We made the first bend.
So I think it's going to need to be anywhere from 12 to 20 of bags of candy next year. I don't know if I can pull off what Joe St. John did in Sunbury because he had the big truck with a huge blow-up eagle on it. So that was pretty cool. But we got to trail right behind them, so that was fun. Just document as I like to do with the mayor's salary as of June is $8,823. As far as the planning and zoning code review, again, Tim, a nice warm welcome. I think you're just going to be a fantastic addition to the group, so appreciate that and all the work ahead there. We do continue to work on the development maps and the master plan and the upcoming meetings as well. So this is going to be, again, one of those kind of line-by-line items that we'll need to do. As far as development, for those who may not know, we're sad to report that John White, owner of the Wright Farm at Plum and Route 3, had passed away about 2 weeks ago. So that does have a slight impact on the future development of the Wright Farm. At this point, progress is unknown currently. There are still active talks with Romanelli and Hughes as they consider the next course of action on the project. So they are in touch with John White's attorney. But we don't have any idea where that's going to go. So, Van Valley and Joe Walker Road, 5 acres, were recently sold, and the owner of the land attended the PNC meeting, looking to do kind of 55 and older type of houses, along with a row of custom built homes along Joe Walker itself. Kathy, I think you have the drawing.
Yeah, I've got the diagram here. So that 5 acres. They're looking at 6 custom built homes right on Joe Walker, and then what would be facing Vans Valley. They had said 4, but I see 3 here, so I'm not quite sure, but they talked about condos, and this was a sketch up of what they're thinking. Not exactly, but definitely want, you know, the dual garage in the middle. So I think, you know, for that 5 acres, it's really a win. You wouldn't know it in the neighborhood, but it's a win to at least have 6 homes, and then there'd be double condos, so 2, 4, 6. Is there 6 or 8 condos?
I think we're at 8, yeah.
They said 8, but personally, I don't see having them between 2 of them.
2 duplexes.
Yeah.
And price range on those duplexes were,
I don't recall,
about fairly competitive.
I don't recall.
This is all relative, right? So he wasn't even quite sure exactly where that was going to land. But they were really just coming to planning and zoning to give us an introduction and kind of introduce themselves and just give us a general sense of what they're thinking.
Yeah, surveyors have been out there every day.
So yeah.
Marking things off.
Just to make it clear, Arrowhead has not sold. People keep telling me that it has been, and it has not. It is not even listed at this point. So if you hear the rumors, it is not. Sambuca's, on the other hand, is actively on the market and potential. So as far as local grant, local business, definitely talk to some local residents who are interested in doing a community-wide recycling, village-wide recycling program, thinking more in terms of having large bins. I mean, we know that most of us have recycling at our homes, not everybody, but this is more focused towards the village businesses with the amount of milk cartons and the amount of beer bottles and cans and everything that kind of come through the village. Having something behind those businesses would be phenomenal. So there is an expense to that, but SWACO has some programs there that we're continuing to look into. So may take a grant to do something like that, but I know that Coldwater, at least for the person interested, if we find something, to write the grant. So I'm passing that along. As I mentioned before, Santa Thurman, the diner, they're all hiring, could use additional kitchen help. Really love to see all those guys working together, you know, just everybody on the village. I don't think there's been any impact, at least talking to the business owners, from one business to the other. They're all getting lots of business. So, and I know that in talking with Chris at Son of Thurman, just as we have spoken about, that he's very, very concerned about the traffic. So, you know, we'll continue to pursue that with the county. Unfortunately, I wish it was something that the village could immediately do, but it's not. So,
yeah, with the Burger Bash, it really felt good to see the coffee vault. Mm-hmm. I remember how excited she was at 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock. I don't even remember bringing the coffee down. And then there were the bagels and the muffins and whatnot. And then the diner, he had concerned traffic lights. Boom, we just jumped on it. We started directing traffic, keeping bikers from parking in the parking
space. No, we didn't.
But to keep bikers from parking where the diner parking needs to be. So it was just great to see all of them working together so well.
Yeah. And a thanks to Sunbury because they provided all the barriers, the traffic barriers. They drop them all off Friday night, pick them all up Sunday morning, you know, to block off the roads, keep things safe for everybody. So that all worked out really well. Didn't end up using some of the routes that we put on there, so we pulled them, pulled the barriers just because of the rain. Yeah. So this month, the Big Walnut Chamber activities, if you guys ever get on their site and check those out, they have some really interesting kind of lunch and learn stuff. And William Murdoch from OPC was there this week or this month, so that was really fun. I did, you know, put in your packet there about check out all the Big Walnut Chamber activities, what's going on. This was super fun. So WARPC had put on, there was a couple different webinars that both Jeff and I attended. The Rapid Five, Power Parks and Waterways, Local Planners and Dale Designs to Connect. Of those five waterways, we are one of them. I know you saw that, and I emailed that to all of you so you could look at that, look at the website, see what the design, there was a kind of a design. I wouldn't say competition. There was a designer for each of the five waterways that were that had plans for future connectivity, ecological. I mean, it just covers everything. Covers everything from having a rock climbing wall downtown, which we do have already, but like zip line. I mean, some of these designs were phenomenal with the bridges and things. And they have looked at other parks across the country to get some of their ideas. So there's lots more to come on that. Funding, all of those types of things. More is going to be very, very involved in that. And the Big Walnut Creek is one of those five. So we wanted to make sure about that. Just that said, the designs are incredibly thoughtful and creative and definitely could serve as information as inspiration for other greenway corridors across the region. So Delaware County Regional Planning, I'd like to put the link there so you guys can pull that up of the different things that are going on. Nothing immediate to impact Galena on that at this time. One of the things that I did want to bring up was, I know we have spoken about this, but I was just notified by Sunbury. Cindy Cooper called me and just said she wanted us to know that Sunbury has voted to have Halloween on the 31st. And so we had agreed in the past when we were reviewing our calendar to follow what Morphe was. And so I just wanted to bring that up again, if there was any further conversation about that or anything that you guys wanted to do differently, knowing that Sunbury was not following Morphe. So, and being that, you know, they're close to the board.
Okay. To go along with that, that came up at the fire board meeting, and Chief just asked whatever we decide we let them know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Warp C recommends the Thursday, is that correct?
And 31st, maybe that's a Sunday. Maybe it's a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sunday, I think 4 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go with, you know, we talked about, I was kind of disappointed to hear that they wanted to do it on a Sunday, but yeah, that was kind of a challenge for me too, because it's always the day before. Right.
You
should
say only Thursday, Saturday night.
Saturday night.
That would be good. Yeah.
And then it's all continued on weather like last year.
Right.
The storm came.
Any thoughts? I mean, I guess the big thing is with Sunbury being our close neighbor and having some of that overlap kids, does anybody feel differently about having it and following Sunbury rather than following Morphe? I've always supported the 31st and then the Sunbury as well. But I just like it on the weekend. I just remember as a kid, you had it on the weekend. That meant all day Saturday, all day Sunday, you're getting out. You were getting off. Bring up and eating, and then, but whatever it is.
But the advantage to the weekend is Saturday, not a Sunday.
Right.
Exactly. I don't see Sunday any different than Thursday night.
Well, I do.
It still works. Yeah, right.
I do, just from the standpoint of, I talk to my grandkids. My grandkids are like, well, Grandma, we'll get off the bus, and we have to hurry up and eat and get our costume on, and then we're going out. And then when we're done, it's time to go to bed, and we're eating all this candy. Quote, unquote, that's the grandkids. That's where I come from on the Thursday being different. But I agree Saturday would be ideal.
Yeah, Saturday would be ideal.
But if you're given Morphe on Thursday or Sunday on Sunday, personally, I'd go Sunday.
I do think it's an advantage to have the same day, or else we're going to have a lot of...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, most of the kids that come through here are coming from Sunday, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, would you guys see that in your own home?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Carlos. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, we talk about where kids are coming from a lot of the other times, but it does seem that there's coordination between some there. And if we were on the same night, then I think we'd probably have mostly Selena's kids because somebody's already having theirs, you know, that same night.
I mean, I go with the consensus, but I said the 22, we need to push forward. I'm not going to ask for candy, but I just think it makes sense.
I do like it on the 31st. I mean, when I growing up, it was always on Halloween. So.
Yeah, until I moved to Columbus.
No one told you when
what?
We just went.
It was always the 31st, whenever it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I don't know. I do think it's really important, you know, maybe that we consider doing a thing like Sunbury, though. I mean, it's one community. Mm-hmm. I know, so I don't know if we want to table that totally with everyone here.
Yeah, well, because Eric and Mike is a kid, so they should probably have a part in that.
Okay. Why don't we table that until September?
Mm-hmm. Or August. We'll do August.
Yeah, sorry. That was my only thing, Chris. You think you're up?
I wanted to let everyone know that sewer bills are going out on August the 1st. I listed interest was $220.68. We had one cremation burial and one traditional burial in July, and we sold two cemetery plots. We had five new residents. And we did get one payment, if you look at the resolution coming up on the sewer liens that were placed. We did get one payment. You'll notice that Cantner went down. She made a $750 payment, but she's still on the list because she's still over $500. Unless you have questions.
Yes. I talked about, from a budgeting perspective, to have a pretty more these big expenditures that, you know, we may want to be evaluating. That budget be brought down. Thank you, Kathy. So just wanted to let you know that. And so this is awesome. They know everything and all the ins and outs, so that will help me a lot as I continue to work with another budget cycle. Okay. The payment of invoices for July. Anybody have any questions or concerns or ideas?
No, we are fine with everything.
Awesome. Love that. Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the payment of the invoices for July?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, David. Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Todd?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
And David?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Payment of invoices has been approved for July. Any questions about the financial statement?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Have you got a copy of, Jeff, have you got your statement there of the budget?
Page
5. You made reference in your report, I think, to mapping by KEM. And I noticed here there's no item there for mapping.
It is under 5201.
Because it's storing up stormwater.
We put it under sanitary, even though we're having both sanitary and storm map. But okay. I'm paying for it under 5201.
So what page is that?
It's like the
seventh
line here in the top.
Right now, you wrote nothing.
There,
ah,
yes.
Okay. Good.
And then two lines above that, you'll see where it says ArcGIS Online.
Right.
That'll be an annual subscription, and that's the format that it's a web. Cloud-based system for the mapping, but that's what our sewer system mapping will be on that.
Okay.
And then it's expandable in the future. We could add street lights on there and so forth.
Good deal. Thanks.
Any further questions regarding the financial statement? All right, great. Can I get a motion to approve the financial statement?
So moved.
Okay, a second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Ruben. And a roll call vote, please.
Todd?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion has been approved to approve the financial statement. Any questions for Jeff regarding the code compliance report or the wastewater treatment report?
Not the report, but yes, Jeff, if you would let Marshall, whomever, know. That there is quite an odor again that we're experiencing in the neighborhood, and we experienced it at the ball field the other night. This happened maybe a year and a half ago, and we had told Levi, and within days it was taken. I don't know what he did, but it was ridiculous.
Well, the nature of wastewater plants is they do have an odor from time to time, but I'll mention it to the operator.
Is there a particular process that happens, you know, once a quarter, once a month, or something that causes anything like that, it's not either all the time or none of the time?
I think it's just the biological process that's going on, and sometimes the flow is greater and so forth. There's a chemical additive that could be inserted earlier in the process, and that might be something, but I don't know how many times this is a problem. We don't get complaints. Apparently, the people who live across the street used to complain with the old plant. Apparently, the new plant isn't so bad because they're not getting complaints.
Well, we were all on the ball field and we were saying, well, we tend to get used to the smell.
Yeah. It's a good popcorn taste. All right, thank you. All right, so I'm going to start reading the resolution. Just an FYI, I do want to reiterate yet again, resolution 05, 06, and 08. We are going to have a first reading this evening, but we will need to have a special meeting because these things should be have read tonight as an emergency, but due to a few members missing on vacation, we'll need to postpone this. And the closest time that we can get, the earliest time that we can get a meeting will be next week. So kind of keep your ears and eyes out. It'll be a very, very fast meeting, probably 15 minutes or so to get these things passed. So unless there's further discussion. So this evening I'll be reading resolution number 2021-05, first reading of an emergency, a resolution authorizing the acceptance of the Ohio Public Works Commission grant, OPWC, for the Walnut Creek Culvert Project and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2021-06, first reading as an emergency, a resolution authorizing acceptance of the bid and awarding a contract to Elite Excavating Company of Ohio Inc. for Walnut Street Culvert Replacement Project and declaring an emergency. Resolution number 2021-08, first reading as an emergency, a resolution authorizing an increase in the budget in the amount of $58,300, authorizing disbursement of these funds for the purpose of the Walnut Street Culvert Project and declaring an emergency. Ordinance number 2021-13 is the second reading, and this will go the full reading. An ordinance certifying delinquent sewer service accounts to the county auditor for lien certification for the period of August 31st, 2020 through August 31st, 2021, and declaring an emergency. Anybody have any other questions about those? Thank you. As far as the MORPC report, pretty much covered that in the information that I shared with you regarding the trails. One of the things that I really enjoy with MORPC is, you know, watching the regular disbursement of grant opportunities and just kind of keeping an eye out for various things that we might be able to be a part of. So it's just really a wonderful organization. Anybody's welcome. So I sit and David's my alternative alternate. That anytime anybody wants to get on a MORPC meeting, jump on. You know, they're just incredibly informative. Really fun to see what's just going on in the more regional regional prospect. BSG&G, Ruben, Fair Board Report. Planning and Zoning Commission, Kathy, I always like to have you. Had anything that I didn't bring it up?
No, I think we covered it between between the 5 acres of Ben Valley and Joe Walker and talking about that. And that would be just for the meeting.
Yeah. Thank you. One of the things that as part of the master plan that they have always done in the past was, you know, get public input. And so what we may be doing here over the next couple meetings is pulling together a list of questions that we'll put into like a Survey Monkey type of thing and be able to send out via email. We'll be reaching out a couple different ways because obviously not everybody has email or social media, so we'll be putting that out there on a couple different modalities. But I think it'll be a nice way to get some feedback just to make sure we're on target. Again, you know, I'm a big proponent of how the master plan stands, and most of it's just updates in terms of them. So, and, you know, some wording on things and things that may not even exist anymore, you know, as we look to go to the future. So it's a little more of a project, I think, than a lot of us thought it would be in terms of that general update. But so needed, and it's really interesting. It's kind of geek out about it when you get in there. So kind of fun just to really know where we're heading. B-City USA, anything there? I know Eric's not here, and I know Dave's covered most everything for us tonight. Thank you. Any other commission reports? Anything on HR?
I think there's a policy issue that we need to discuss as a council having to do with insurance.
Thank you. I was going to bring that up. Another business.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Okay. Yep. You know, we had a Lori Armbruster tonight saying that she couldn't participate, or they felt they couldn't participate because of insurance. And yet we had a private group wanting to have a bike-a-thon, and we provided insurance for them. So, and, you know, we're a B-City. We're in partnership with this group, and yet they can't participate in Summerfest because they don't have insurance.
But they hadn't brought it to us before this season.
Right.
I mean, we didn't turn it down, but fortunately, it came up in this meeting, and
yeah,
we can accommodate.
Yeah.
But my question is, I mean, we've been doing Summerfest for years, and so...
Well, Summerfest is the bigger issue, too, because Summerfest has been a part of the village operations for a number of years, and yet we've never offered them to cover their insurance.
And we can't because of alcohol. That's the number one, that is the number one caveat.
Okay.
So, but my question is that if there's been Summerfest every year, doesn't their insurance cover all their vendors? I mean, why? Yeah, I mean, if they've had vendors all the time, and
yeah,
I'm assuming that they're all covered under the Summerfest insurance.
And it's more so before.
Well, nobody's ever come vendor by vendor by vendor, would never need to come to the village to ask for that.
Yeah.
So that's all.
But
very
couldn't we offer that possibility to Lori?
What I'm saying is I don't know why she would need it. Because, I mean, does that mean then the ice cream truck does it, and then, you know, Mr. Lobster truck needs it, and,
yeah,
you know, the vendor who sells the jewelry needs it? We've never done that. You know, so that's why I thought the GGCA insurance policy covered everything. They covered their vendors, including their beer. So that is why we can't do that. We would, David. But, and that was, I would say it's a discussion that we would have that I would be in support of. It's the alcohol that the insurance company wouldn't allow us to do. So, but I think you bring up a great thing, and Ken and I talked at length about this. This is new, you know, because nobody's really asked the questions that were brought back to us and really challenged us because we kept pushing back. And then I kept saying to Ken, why can't we? I mean, it's like double policy. And then he asked the question to the insurance office, and I'm like, yeah, we can do it. And every cycle is signed away. And so, and those are all in his hands now. And so, and they're very accustomed to doing that. Nobody has any questions. But, and we could do that for any event that doesn't have alcohol. We can do that now. They just need to sign away. And so, based on our policy. But what we need to really go to the next step as the council is to have you all decide whether you want to have a subgroup or something together to put together some type of a document for special events.
Some guidelines
to say, you know, this is what we need. And so really that's what Ken and I were talking
about. So how did we handle the Friday movie?
The Friday movie. In this case, I understand that he got a bonus.
Yeah, that's what I was asking, Dave, because he told me that cost him $75.
Yeah.
But that event, I think, it covered for 30 days. So that's what I'm saying to you.
Jacob did,
yes.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
We
didn't include
the council fast enough. You know what I'm saying? We didn't include that way.
Yeah, so if it turns out that she actually needed the solution, and like I said, I mean, I love it so much, I would do it myself if it's a her, if it's that necessary. But
yeah,
there's a solution.
Yeah.
And it's an inexpensive one.
Right. We've just never had any vendor. I just think that the GPCA, it was interesting that she brought that up, and I would have kind of expected the committee, the GPCA, to have already made that very clear. Because, I mean, because every other vendor, do they then provide their insurance to the GPCA? I don't think, I've never heard that. And so, I mean, their policy to cover their event, their vendor.
That's what I thought.
So I don't think that should be any surprise, and there's no reason that Lori couldn't be part of some of that. She doesn't need her own insurance for that.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys all agree? That seems logical?
Yeah. It could be just a misunderstanding.
Well, exactly.
There's
always that. So I'm just saying, so if that's the case, then all these people, all these years for Summerfest have been an illegal entity, you know, because they didn't have insurance. I mean, you know, we approved it without insurance. Well, that's not that we've always approved it because the GGCA has their own insurance.
Yeah.
Well, we should be good to go.
So then maybe we should have, maybe, I don't know, copy of GGCA's policy just for our own reference?
Well, we do have it. We always can get it. Insurance policy?
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I don't know why she said that when she's part of.
What is it just going to get?
Yeah. Because other vendors would have come to us by now saying, hey, we were told. I mean, nobody obviously told us. She seemed to be the one person who was told that they need that. Otherwise, they had no vendors. And I know there was a ton of events.
Nancy and Grace are on.
They were not on here.
Well, I can call Gina and talk to her and have her reach out.
For Lori, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're talking to each other.
Right,
maybe it's just a miss.
Yeah. A miss. So I guess the next step is, do some of you want to volunteer to get together and kind of put something together? I'd love to be part of that. I don't think it's going to be real intensive. I think Ken can give us a lot of guidelines, you know, because we already have the waiver. You know, this is the waiver that you need for events. You need to come to council usually, you know, and for whatever concessions, whether it's road or, you know.
Almost like a playbook, if you will.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I think I'd love to be involved with this, so I think that's funny.
You want to be the lead on that?
Yeah, I can be the lead on that. At least two or three people we can come up with a consensus and decision to council on this.
Whenever it comes time for you to deliberate about that, we should have our insurance representative advise us.
Agreed.
It could be that, you know, it's nice to have the coverage, but if there's an incident, maybe the village's premium goes sky high after that point, and there might be a reason why we don't want to.
And so that wasn't the case. He has a full letter from insurance and everything. It's all documented. It's just
well,
like
obviously, Ken needs to be involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's like if somebody falls on the square and sues us, yeah. It's the same thing.
I think it'd be good to have our insurance representative be here to answer questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe when we come together with the consensus, have the insurance person here to be part of that conversation.
Yep, perfect. Right. And I think that is a great next step because we're going to have more of this. I mean, you know,
right.
Somebody wants to have yoga on the square. What do we need?
Right.
You know,
right.
We don't want it to be.
Market. What do we do?
We don't want it to be a special or emergency every time.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, there's yoga.
Right.
Oh, there's
yeah.
Oh,
right.
Want the paint on the square.
Right.
Or whatever. And Ken Wesley, he is
yeah.
Very, very thorough with the insurance.
Because, I mean, you know, like I said in the past, we want to be the group that tries to get things done, not just figure out ways so we can't get it done.
Stand in the way, yeah.
Any questions? Anybody else want to be part of that? Put me down. I like that. You're a cool one.
So, you say you? Jill?
Yes,
okay. So, you, myself, and obviously the consultation. And Jeff.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things I just want to put out there for anybody who's running for elections or they're interested in running for elections in 2022, it is hot in time. Kathy, I know you went to the class and you got to get signatures. There's a little more than
mm-hmm.
just running. So if people are interested in that,
yes, I'll be heading to the Board of Elections and the signatures.
Okay, yeah, no, I think I've covered anything I've got. Okay.
Deadline's the 4th?
I think so.
I think it's
yes,
the 4th.
I think it's the 4th. Yeah. Okay. All right, now executive session this evening. And if everybody agrees, unless there's any other.
I had one thing that I meant to bring up. Bills. And that has to do with the AEM bill that's been talked about, haven't approved, it's still outstanding at $952.96. And
that was the Blackhawk
mm-hmm. finance meeting and review.
I talked to Mark about it. Mark said, you know, it can just sit there until, you know, we do something with Blackhawk.
So they're okay with letting it
yeah.
Right. All right. I just wanted to bring it up and not just commit it.
Because I originally heard it wasn't about Blackhawk the development, it was about Blackhawk Estates and all that was going on in there. And then there was some priorities, and I guess it was Blackhawk.
Well, this, but also the mayor has asked Romanelli and Hughes to sign a pass-through agreement, so we're still waiting for that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They paid the bill just to wait for the formality of the agreement. Okay. Everybody good?
All right. Just to be clear, Dave, did you say dinner was at your house after the meeting? Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you so much, everybody. Can I get a motion to adjourn? Second? Thank you, Kathy. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Cricket, as usual. Meeting's over at 8:44. Thank you, everybody.
Where did you come from?